you would, Colossians chapter 4. How many of you got a Bible that's got maps in the back that shows Paul's missionary tours that he did? If you would, if you got one in your back of your Bible, it shows them. Go to the third one, and I want to cover something tonight, kind of help us out a little bit. It'll help you a little bit if you look at it. Now, if you happen, before you read, if you happen to have your Bible and you've got the Paul's third journey that he took, missionary trip that he took, now, if you'll notice there, he goes in Greece and different places there. You'll see over where Ephesus is. That's where the church, of, where the book of Ephesians was written to. Now, if you look on over toward Lystra and those places, over through there is where Colossae is, about 100 miles across there. Now, if you look and look to the left, you'll see Italy looks like a boot, if it's on your map, and Rome about halfway up Italy. Now, when Paul wrote this letter, he sent a letter to the church at Ephesus and also church of Colossae. And he sent it by a guy by the name of Tychicus. And we're going to talk about him here in a few minutes. But I want you to look, because when it talks about sending a letter with him, I want you to look how far he had to go. He went all the way across, he had to cross all the way across Italy, approximately, on foot. Then Adriatic Sea, he had to cross it. Had to cross Greece on foot. And then he, Aegean Sea, he had to go across it. Then he get to Ephesus. Then when he got to Ephesus and delivered a letter there to the church, he went another 100 miles or so on foot to deliver it to Colossae. And so when the Bible speaks of him carrying a letter, I wanted you to get in your mind that it's not like carrying across a road, not like walking 10 miles down the road. He went across two different countries, Italy and Greece. Then he had another miles over in Asia Minor. And then he had to cross two seas to get that letter and get those letters. So, turn with me, if you would, to the book of Colossians. And I'll get here in a moment why I covered those. But begin reading, if you would, in verse number four, chapter 4, in verse number 7. And all my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, whom is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and a fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts. Now, also notice, if you would, in verse 9, he was with Onesimus. Now, Onesimus was a runaway slave, Philemon, that was took back to Philemon. He took him back and asked him not to be hard upon Onesimus, but receive him as a brother, not as a runaway slave. You remember that? If you read that. Now, turn to one more place, if you would, while you're there. Keep your finger there and go to Ephesians chapter 6. Five places we find Tychicus written about, and these two I wanted to point out. In chapter 6 of Ephesians, in verse 21, but that ye may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Now notice again, Paul uses the same thing when he wrote to Ephesians and the church of Ephesus as he did when he wrote to the church of Colossae. And so, and he sent both letters with Tachymus and some other fellow servants. Now turn back, if you would, in chapter 4, and let me cover a couple things real quickly. In Colossae, Paul had not started the church at Colossae. As a matter of fact, he'd never been there. He had a great love for it. If you read the first chapter, it was his work. And, of course, he was under the ministry of Paul. But he started there. But Paul had a great love for it. And so he sends this letter. Now, he was in prison at Rome at the time when he wrote the letter to Colossae, to Ephesians, and to Philippians. This was his first imprisonment. They would let him out, and he would go about, and he would be imprisoned again. And at the end of Timothy in chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4, he is imprisoned, and he will be beheaded after that. They will cut his head off after the second time he's imprisoned in Rome. Now, we know a lot about Paul. We know a lot about Barnabas and some about Silas and different ones. But Tachymus, we don't know much about. The Bible speaks of him five different times. And we do know that Paul was given a ministry of preaching the gospel to the Gentiles. He made several missionary trips. He didn't do that by himself. He had other people that helped him. And so therefore, he had a lot of faithful people that made it possible for him to accomplish what he accomplished. Now, if you look and look back in the Bible, you'll find five places that Tachymus is mentioned. He's mentioned in Acts chapter 20 in verse 4, and there is talking about the third missionary journey that Paul made, and it talks about Tachymus and several other men that went with Paul on that journey. Of course, here in Colossians and then in Ephesians we read. Then in Titus chapter 3, we find them mentioned. And there, Paul sends for Titus to meet him somewhere. And Tachymus takes over the work at Crete while he's gone and covers the work at Crete. Then you'll also find in 2 Timothy chapter 4, Tachymus mentioned again. And there, Paul is fixing to die. Most of his friends have forsook him. They have betrayed him. They've left him. But not Tachymus. He's right there with him until the end. And so here he is. And Paul sends him somewhere to take care of the church at Ephesus. But he's right there with Paul, which means a lot to Paul. And so Paul here, if you look back in Colossians chapter 4, and look back, if you would, and follow with me just a moment. These five mentions of Tachymus, we don't know much about them, but if you notice, he kind of had the same language in Ephesians and Colossians. But I want you to look, and I want to share with you a thought using those three descriptions that Paul used to describe Tachymus. Notice what he said in verse number 7 of chapter 4 of Colossians. All my state shall Tachycus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and a fellow servant in the Lord. He was sent because they were worried about Paul. He was in prison. They were concerned what was going on, so he sent letters back to the churches to kind of share with them what was taking place. Now, something else you need to remember, and sometimes we don't get a grip on this, we sit and we read these letters of Paul, and Paul was used to write the majority of the New Testament, but most of the time he wrote these books, he was chained to a soldier in prison. Now, you got to think about that. He had every reason to be bitter, but he wasn't bitter. He had great love for everybody, had great love for the ministry in which God called him to be. Now, I said that to go back, and I want you to notice a couple of things that as Pete, they were concerned, he entrusted Tychicus to take and carry the letters back to these churches. Now, as I pointed out on the map, it was no small chore to go from Rome across Italy, across next sea, to go across Greece and go across another sea, and then go across from Ephesus all the way over to Colossae. It was no small task. I mean, we think about it, and just to be on the sea during those days was a challenge, and a lot of hardship, and a lot of danger. And so, therefore, Tychicus had left his friends and family and all those things to be a part in the ministry. Now, let me say this before I get into these three descriptions. We in America, we have a habit of wanting to be independent. It's in our blood to be independent. Our forefathers came over here to be independent. They wrote a Declaration of Independence. And of course, that declaration was to be written to free us away from the tyranny that they were dealing with in England. Then we fought a war of independence. The Independence War, to be independent. And independence can be good things. But in our generation, we have a habit of being too independent. We get independent, we forget about God. We forget about what God's done, where things have come from, and we get thinking about too much of ourselves. Also, the church must be interdependent. In other words, we've got to depend upon each other, folks. The church is made to depend upon each other. It was not made to be independent-minded. There is no one person that can carry on a work of a church. It takes a church. It takes everybody pulling together. The Bible tells us in Corinthians chapter 12, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, that God puts different people with different gifts in each body. He does that to be able to carry out the work. Now, look with me a few moments and let's think about these three terms that Paul used. When Paul wrote something, he didn't just throw it out there lightly. He had great reason why he wrote what he wrote. Look what he said in chapter 4 and verse 7. He said that Tychicus was a beloved brother. Now, that means that he was a great friend. Have you ever had a good friend? The Bible says a friend loveth at all times. When you have a friend, and you've ever had the experience of having a good friend, you can tell that good friend anything. Even when you're wrong, and even when you disappoint the friend, they still love you because they are a friend at all times. The Bible says faithful are the wounds of a friend. And so a friend is very important to have. And so Paul considered Tychicus a friend, a beloved brother. Amen. The word beloved is used 60 times in the New Testament. The first 9 times, God used it of his own son. He said, "This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased." It was a term that meant of great affection. Someone that you love greatly. And Paul used it of Tychicus. He loved him greatly. He was a beloved brother. He was highly esteemed in Paul's eyes. You don't find Tychicus Tychicus, striving for the limelight. He wasn't trying to steal the show away from Paul. He wasn't trying to steal members away from him. All he wanted to do was do the work of the Lord that the Lord had called him to do. And so what he did was, whenever he was asked to do something, he would support Paul in whatever way that he could support him. And you see, that's why Paul loved him so much. He wasn't out there for himself. And he could tell he loved him. Even when Paul was in prison in Rome the second time and fixing to die, he wrote in 2 Timothy that they'd all forsook him. But Tychicus had not forsook him. He sent him on an errand. At that time, he'd sent him on errand to Ephesus. But you know, it's good to have a friend that's a friend to the end. I remember when Brother Don was dying. Brother Don, we spent a lot of time together, and he told me. He said, "You have been a true friend." He said, "I've been able to deal with every aspect of my life with you." There was not a greater compliment he could make than that. And you know, I love Brother Don. Amen. He had faults. I have faults. But it was not because he was perfect that I loved him, but he was a true friend. I could talk to him about things, and I didn't worry about it being all over the church. I didn't worry about somebody sitting over here talking about it in my absence. He took things to the grave, I told him, and I'll probably take things to the grave that he told me. But he was a friend. Paul told Tychicus, he said, "Tychicus, you are a beloved brother." A church ought to be made up of friends. Beloved brethren. There's not a person here that doesn't have faults. There's not a person here that you can't go around and pick things apart if that's why you're looking. And there are some people that go to some churches and they all, the only purpose they go for is to pick things apart. But can I tell you what? That has nothing to do with what a church is supposed to be about.
Amen.
Don't you ever think that you somehow make yourself look big by making other people look small.
Amen.
That's not the intent. Paul told Tychicus, he said, Tychicus, you are a beloved brother. I love you. You've been there for me through thick and thin. And I'll tell you this. There is no church that any one person. Somebody said, "Well, I don't know." And let me say this. Now listen to me very carefully. I don't mean this mean. But if the church depends solely upon the pastor, and when that pastor leaves, that church crumbles. Something was wrong in the church.
Amen.
It takes a church to make a church. If you just a pastor is the only thing that makes a church, then you've got pastor worship. You don't have a church.
Amen.
And regardless of who that pastor is, he needs other people that loves him and that he loves to get the job done. That's why he was beloved to Paul. Him and others that Paul could count on. And he loved him. He loved him. The second thing I want you to notice, if you would, in verse 7, notice that the Bible says that he was not only a beloved brother, but he was a what? Faithful minister. Now, the ministry he had was not, Paul was called of God to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. Somebody said, well, what was Tychicus? What was talking about being a faithful minister? Because, and by the way, the word minister is the same word that deacon comes from. And can I say this? And I can say it, not worry about hurting Brother Rick's feelings. Most churches have done a great injustice with the word deacon. The word deacon means a minister, to minister into the church. It doesn't mean an official to have the authority of the church. You follow me? What Jesus was trying to teach his apostles before he went to the cross, when he got down on his knees and began to wash their feet, was to humble themselves, and they were not sent there to be ministered unto. They were there to minister to other people. Let me give you a good example what a minister is. How many of you have ever been in the hospital before? You know, have you ever been in the hospital? How many of you have ever been there really, really sick? Of course, most of us say, well, if I wasn't sick, I wouldn't go there. How many of you ever got a really good, nice nurse? How many ever got a nurse that was she acted like it was a pain to her to do anything that you asked her to do? Now, stay with me a minute. You see, what that nurse is there for, when she's hateful, she don't think of nobody but herself, she fumes and frets about every little thing, she's there for a job. She's there for a job. The paycheck. What she has forgotten is a nurse should be in a ministry. She ought to minister to people. To minister to people is to see for their needs and try to comfort them. Tychicus was sent to the churches to comfort the churches, in a time when they were really concerned about Paul and what was going on with Paul in prison. And they were fretting about him, afraid what was going to happen to him. And he was sent there to comfort and be a minister unto him. And so what happened was, sometimes that nurse that's just there and everything you ask her to do, and I don't know about you, but this is the way I am. Not everybody's this way, but I am. If I ask you to do something and you act like you don't want to or you act like it's a real bother to you, I just assume you not do it. And you know, chances are I won't ask you again. Because I don't want to have to beg people. I have been in the hospital where when you need something, you about had to beg them to get it. Or they go get it and you'd be in pain and then they come back 2 hours later. Then I've been in there and I've had some that was just as nice as they could be. They couldn't be any nicer. They didn't have to do everything they did for their job, but they were there in a ministry type. And so therefore they had not forgot that they were there to minister unto me. And therefore it was so nice to be able to be in a place because it was a great comfort, because you didn't mind if you asked them to do something. They came back with a smile and they brought it with a smile and it didn't seem to bother them at all when they brought it to you. What am I getting at? You need to ask yourself, everybody in the church are ministers. Sometimes you are asked to do something, and sometimes you step up and volunteer. There are some people that they do something for years and years and years and years, and it's never a ministry. It's always a job, because they always dread doing it, and they do it because they feel like they have to. And nobody around them gets any comfort from that because they're not ministers. And you know, when you see and you ask somebody, to do something and they fret and frown, I say, forget it. I just didn't do it myself. I hate to ask somebody to do something and then get all tore up about it. But if we're not careful, every one of us, in things that we do in the church, we have to ask ourselves, has it turned into a job or is it still a ministry? If it's a ministry, we'll do it to comfort other people. If it's a job, we do it because we have to. I have to really challenge myself with school. I didn't like school when I went. The only thing I liked about school was getting out. I also liked playing ball. But other than that, they could have the rest of it. The math came easy. History came easy. I liked them things. English, I despised. I ain't learned nothing. Not nary thing. And so coming, I have to challenge myself. And sometimes I have to stop myself and remind myself, don't forget it's a ministry. It's not a job. When I go out on these long bus trips and I'm wore out, instead of biting people's head off when I get to the end of the road and I empty the bus at midnight and 1 o'clock, I have to remind myself it's a ministry. It's not a job. If I was just wanting a job, I could probably find something paid a little better with a whole lot less hours. But there's such rewards. There's rewards. And somebody said, well, nobody ever thanks me. Can I let you in on a little secret? There's only one that keeps the book. And he will thank you and reward you when the time comes. And so here he says, you're not only a beloved brother, you're a faithful minister. You're faithful to comfort people. Now get this. I showed you the map to picture this in your mind. He's here in Rome. He's in prison with Paul, or he's with Paul while Paul's in prison. Paul writes these letters to Ephesus and Colossae. He says, Tychicus, take them to him. He doesn't go, do I have to? Pick somebody else. Let somebody else do it. There was 8 people there with him. He took it. He walked all the way across Italy. He found him a ship and went across another sea. Then he got off and he began to walk all the way across Greece carrying those letters. It's untelling what he faced and what he went through. Then he went through another sea. Then he got off and he walked over and he walked to Ephesus. Then he didn't stop there and he went on to Colossia, 100 miles on in, and he stopped there. And you know what he did in both those churches? He comforted the people. You know how he comforted people? If he went there and he said, y'all don't know what I went through to get here. You guys ought to be appreciative of what I've done. You ought to be thankful that I walked all these times and I've crossed all those seas to get here. That wouldn't comfort anybody. They've been sitting there saying, Tacitus, I'm sorry you had to come that way. Now you made me feel bad. Complaining about everything that you went through. Paul said that's not what he did. He went over there. And he went and he said, listen, folks, all's well with Paul. Yeah, he's in prison, but his spirits are high. He loves you. He wrote these letters, and he wants you all to have these letters because he's concerned, because he knows you're concerned about him, and he's concerned about you. And so, therefore, he'd like to know how you guys are doing. And I'm going to carry him back. I'm going to carry him back, and I'm going to share with him because we're going to pray for you all, and we want you to know that God is still in charge. And he said, I'm going to go back after I see, and I'm going to report back, and it's going to please him so much when I tell him what I found over here. Now, what he's going to have to do, Brother Porter, is turn around and walk all the way right back and go all the way back the same way. But you know what he was? Faithful minister. And sometimes I say, boys, will you go pick that trash up down there? Can't nobody else do it? But then there's a lot of them who go, yeah. Several boys and girls around here. I look at them, I say, would you do this? I never hear a word. Then there's a couple I'll say, and I'll look, and they'll be somewhere else. They're not what I consider faithful ministers. And you know what? Somebody said, well, you always ask me to do it. You know why I usually ask you to do it? Because you do it. When I ask somebody and they don't do it, I usually don't ask them a second time. I usually find somebody who can do it. Now, sometimes, if it's a discipline issue, I make them do it. I sit there and I watch them. I make sure they do it. Today, I told them, Angie come over and working with state convention over here. Some of the guys and girls come over here. I said, one rule before you go. Angie, just give me the name of any boy or girl that interrupts and doesn't allow it to happen. And then they can mop and sweep and clean the lunchroom. It was my day to do it. I had some of the other ones did it while I was watching the class, but it was my day to do it, so it'd been a good day for them to do that. But I didn't get a name. But had I got a name, they'd been over there sweeping and mopping. You say, I don't want my child to sweep and mop. Well, you just keep that attitude. And they'll probably be sweeping and mopping behind bars one of these days. But anyway, getting back. Learn to be a faithful minister. Faithful. Now, this last one is what? He said faithful minister. And what's the other one? What? Fellow servant. You know what that means? That means that Paul got the call to go to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. Tychicus was called to help Paul. But they were both serving the same God. They both served the same master. One of their jobs was not any more or less important than the other one. They were just as important. Because what happened was, one could not get the job done without the other one. Paul, you know, sometimes we think about Paul going here and all these missionary tours. He didn't do it without some help. And those people that helped him was just as instrumental in his ministry as anything else. I mean, just look at Tychicus. He not only went and delivered those letters. He not only went over and stood in for Titus when Titus needed to go meet with Paul. He also went over and went to Ephesus whenever Paul was dying fixing to lose his life. He went over there and took over the church of Ephesus for a little bit. Whatever he was asked to do, he did. The reason why is they were fellow servants. Fellow servants mean that they both would be rewarded for not doing each other's job. God wasn't going to reward him for doing what he called Paul to do. He was going to reward Tychicus for doing what he asked Tychicus to do. And somebody said this one time, you ought to mark it down in your mind, especially young people. It's unreal what you can achieve if you don't care who gets the credit for it. Learn not to do it for the credit. And can I say something without sounding too harsh? I've seen this here. I've seen a lot of other places. The church, it is necessary in the church for all kinds of gifts. All kinds of things. There's sometimes some of you all can give to things that needs to be, take place here. That's a blessing. Some cannot. Some can do certain skills. Some's willing to go. Some's willing to witness. Some's willing to do all kinds of things. You know, the other day, I'll say this about Jackie, he's not here. You know, Jackie's been mowing the yard and those things, and I appreciate that. I come here a lot, and I catch him out here, and I mean, a lot of times he's here, and I'll say this about Cliff, too. Sometimes I come out, and Cliff's back there picking up them walnuts, throwing them over, going through cleaning up. Jackie cleaned some brush and cut trees and done all that. Have you noticed that you can see the cars coming around that curve a little better? Now, I'm not saying this to pat Jackie, but I'm saying, man, that was useful. That was a blessing. You know, and before he mowed the yard, Brother Junior mowed the yard. Before Brother Junior mowed the yard, and it got to be old. Times when I need to be other places, guess where I was at? And I cannot tell you how much I appreciate people that does things. And there's things that needs to be done. And what I'm trying to get across to you is this. We are all fellow servants. We have one purpose in everything that we do, for the glory of God. Now I start to say this, and I want to say it because I think it's important. I appreciate good servants, and I appreciate fellow servants, understanding that we're all one. And I don't want to sound harsh in this, but I probably will, but I don't mean it to be. There are a whole lot of people, and I've seen it here, I've seen some that I couldn't get to do nothing around church. But they want an answer call preach. They want to stand up behind the pulpit. They want to be seen. They want to be heard. But every kind of little thing that I had around here that nobody saw that needed to be done, I never could get them to do none of that. Never could get them to do none of the dirty work. Only if they could be seen and heard. I fear there's a lot of people that's up there for the wrong reason. And there's a lot of people that the only place they want to be is there, but when it comes to coming back where you're sitting and doing the things that you do to make this church function and carry on, they're not a part of that. Unless somebody's praising them publicly about it. I've seen it. And there's some good ones. There's some good ones that just gets in there. They dig. They do. They don't ask for nothing. They don't try to press their name in lights. And you know, a lot of times those same people, they get behind here and all you hear is, I. Folks, it's not a job. There's only one that gets glory, and it's not you, and it's not me. If you want to do it for His glory. If you want to do it, if you want to sing, sing for His glory. If you're singing so everybody pat you on the back on the way out and tell you how good you sung, you've done it for all the wrong reasons. You see, being a fellow servant means that we all serve one master, and that master is very jealous of His glory. He don't want none of us jumping in for His glory. You see, Tychicus was not for His glory. Paul was not for his own glory. They were both jealous of the glory of God. And so whatever they did, they didn't do it. They didn't do it to be heard, to be seen, to be praised. They did it because you never hear of these five places. And all five places you find Him, He's working, doing something. He doesn't do it for a name, but He does it to glorify and praise God. And so tonight, I wanted to ask you this. Are you a beloved brother? Are you a faithful minister? Are you a fellow servant? Is it a job? Somebody said, well, I've been teaching a Sunday school class and I get so tired. Sounds to me like it's turned into a job. Is it a job or a ministry? Sometimes we just have to stop ourselves. And therefore, when you got something to contribute for the glory of God, contribute. Somebody said, well, preacher, I was wanting to sing a song, but if it was for the glory of God, do it. Right. Somebody said, well, preacher, I want to stand up and say something, but if it was for the glory of God, do it. Now, if it was for you to blow your own trumpet, just kind of stay there if you don't care. Or I tell you what, just go home and do it to your spouse, okay? Share it with them, okay? But don't, what I'm trying to do is this. Don't, and you can tell. Some people get up, the Spirit goes, shh.
Amen.
So what I want you to understand is this. When we do something, do it for the glory of God. When you're asked to come up and take an offering, do it for the glory of God. When you're asked to do something, just do it for the glory of God. We're all fellow servants. So therefore, we only want one person to get something good out of it and get honor and praise and glory. And again, let me just close with this thought. There's only one keeping a book. And whether anybody else sees it, He sees it. Amen. Let's stand.